This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, September wheat ended the day at 528 and three quarter, down two. December wheat ended at 550 and a quarter, down four and a quarter. March wheat ended the day at 572 and three quarter, down a nickel. September corn yesterday on the Chicago Board of Trade ended at 361 and a half, down a penny. December corn ended at 369 and a half, down one and a quarter. March corn ended at 381 and a quarter, down one and one quarter. August soybeans yesterday ended at 1207 and a half, up six and a half. September beans 1111 and a half, up nine and three quarter. November beans ended at 1084 and three quarter, up eight and a quarter. August soybean meal yesterday ended at 395.30, up 38. September meal 367.20, up 29. October meal ended at $353, up 28. August soybean oil yesterday ended at 36.24, up 4. September oil 36.27, up 3. October oil 36.25, up 3. September oats yesterday on the Chicago Board of Trade ended the day at 337, up 4. December oats ended at 326, up 1 and 3 quarter. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for a recap of the cash grain markets.
This is Thursday's grain report prepared by the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were mixed late Thursday afternoon, with corn and wheat closing higher and soybean values lower. Soybean prices moved lower despite good weekly export sales figures and a large new crop sale of U.S. soybeans to China. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn mixed at 365 to 378. Soybeans are down 12 to 15 cents at 1201 to 1228. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn mostly a penny higher at 363 to 384. Soybeans are 9 to 11 cents lower at 1227 to 1255. In the southern part of the state, elevators and mills reported shell corn mostly 1 to 2 cents stronger at 376 to $4. Soybeans are 10 to 12 cents lower at 1213 to 1240. Wheat was mostly 7 to 8 cents higher at 491 to 523. Illinois soybean processor cash bids were down 12 cents at 1245 to 1285. Basis levels were unchanged at 70 to 110 over the August futures. High-protein soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at $430.50 to $437.50 per ton. That's down $3 to $6.20 per ton. Illinois corn processor cash bids were 1 cent higher at $3.91 to $4.08, with basis levels unchanged at 12 to 29 cents over the September. Illinois River barge loading elevators placed their producer corn market mixed at 390 to 399. Basis levels were mixed at 11 to 20 over the September. Soybeans closed unchanged to 13 cents lower at 1233 to 1236, with basis levels unchanged to 8 cents stronger at 58 to 61 over the August. Wheat prices were 8 to 13 cents higher at 515 to 526, with the basis levels unchanged to 5 cents lower at 36 to 25 under the September. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn market mostly a penny higher at 415 to 420. These elevators lowered their soybean bids 12 to 16 cents, with bids at 1250 to 1260. Soft wheat closed mixed at 525 to 530. Milo was most unchanged to a penny higher at 402 to 413. Contract bids to producers for fall delivery grain in northern and western Illinois. Fall shell corn contracts were offered at 348 to 362. Fall delivery soybean contracts range from 1059 to 1070. In central Illinois, fall delivery shell corn contracts were quoted in a range of 351 to 362. Fall delivery soybean contracts range from 1060 to 1076. In the southern part of the state, fall delivery shell corn contracts were offered in a range of 356 to 370. Fall delivery soybean contracts range from 1063 up to 1082. That concludes Thursday's closing grain report.
Livestock futures on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, August hogs, ended the day at 123.20, down $1.37. October hogs ended at 107.90, down 2.55. December hogs ended at 98.62, down 2.87. August feeder cattle yesterday ended at 217.32, up 7. September feeders ended at 218.05, down 35. October feeders 217.62, down 55. August cattle yesterday ended at 156.55, up a half dollar. October cattle 158.05, up a nickel. December cattle 157.77, also up a nickel. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for a recap of the cash livestock markets.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday the 17th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $1.60 lower in the range of $119 to $130, with the weighted carcass average price of $128.24. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 72 to 78, 4 to 5 weights 74 to 80, 5 to 6 weights 76 to 82, and 600 pounds and up were 80 to 85, with a few bringing 88. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from $90 to $95. Now for the report from the Greenville Livestock Auction. For Wednesday, July 16th, they had receipts of 745 head, starting with the choice slaughter steers. They were 150 to 161, with some high dressing bringing 165. Select and choice were 140 to 148.50, and select steers were 129.50 to 137. Choice slaughter Holstein steers, 143 to 150, and select and choice Holstein steers, 134 to 144. Select Holstein steers 120 to 136. Choice slaughter heifers were 150 to 160. And select and choice heifers 142 to 146. Now on to Reels Livestock Auction in Congerville. They had receipts of 223 head, starting with the choice slaughter steers. They were 152.50 to 160. Select and choice 143 to 152, and choice Holstein steers were 140 to 147, with some high dressing bringing 148. Choice slaughter heifers 148.50 to 155, select and choice heifers 142.50 to 147. On to the slaughter cows, premiums were 120 to 128.50, with a high dressing 141.50 to 143. Breakers were 111.50 to 118, with the high dressing 119 to 120, and the boners average dressing 105 to 113, with the high dressing bringing 118 to 128. On to slaughter bulls, they had some under 1,300 pounds that were bringing 132 to 140, and 1,500-pound bulls and up were bringing 132.50. Now on to the opening report from the Walnut Livestock Auction. They had receipts of 312 head. Trade was active and demand good. Slaughter steers and heifers were trading steady. Slaughter Holstein steers were not tested. Starting with the choice slaughter steers, they were 155.50 to 162. And choice slaughter heifers were 154.50 to 159.75. In the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at 155 to 158, and on a dress basis, they traded at 244 to 248. Heifers on a live basis traded at 155 to 157.50, and on a dress basis at 245 to 248. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 385 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $135.89, and that was 71 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses were $249.81, and that was $1.01 lower, with select carcasses at $244.24, and that was $1.38 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 115,000. That compared to 113,000 last week and 124,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 395,000. That compared to 395,000 last week and 406,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Wrapping up part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Friday, here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for July, $3.64. For September, $3.46. Corn delivered to Scottville for July, $3.55. For September, $3.46. Beans delivered to Greenfield for July, $12.56. And for October, $10.75. Beans delivered to Scottville for July, $12.45, and for October, $10.75, and wheat delivered to Scottville, $4.68. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices again, corn at Greenfield, $3.64, corn at Scottville, $3.55, beans at Greenfield, $12.56, beans at Scottville, $12.45, wheat at Scottville, $4.68. In our farm news today, on Thursday, we talked to Jerry Rotman of M&M Service Company, and he went over area crop conditions.
Corn is the best. We have the best looking corn crop in Madison County I've ever seen in general. It's beautiful, pretty healthy. We've done most of the fungicide spraying that we're going to do. We got a little northern corn leaf blight, which I've really never seen before down here. We've got little gray leaf spots, a little bit of rust spot. The corn looks good, but we need rain now. The compacted areas, the sodic soil areas, are in typical drought mode. The corn's gray. It looks rough. Most of our corn looks great, but we need rain to fill it out, because if we don't get rain, we'll start having kernel abortion. The corn does everything it can to make an ear, and I think it's well on its way, but if we keep proceeding without rain, it'll sacrifice the stalk to make grain, and then we'll have poor stalk quality. So that's about where we're at on the corn. The corn's it's R2, maybe R3, but R2 is all the early corn is, and we should watch out for any late planted corn, because that'll respond more to fungicides, and it's got more issues with diseases and insects. So if there's any late planted corn, which there isn't much of, that should be what.
The late planted corn, that's also even more susceptible to the lack of moisture that you talked about a minute ago, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And what about the soybeans?
Soybeans also look good. There's some weed issues. It's pretty common around. The first crop soybeans are mostly in R3. There's still fungicide being sprayed. A lot of that's been done. There's a little bit of disease. We try to look at varieties. There's other reasons to spray. And we're scouting and spraying the double crop soybeans. There's quite a few of those down here, and it's time to be doing that, to clean up volunteer wheat, anything that we've missed with burn down. And the fields that we were able to get a burn down on with a residual herbicide naturally look a lot better than those fields that didn't have any herbicides applied.
Which is more difficult to take care of, the weed problem or the fungus problem?
Fungus is, all we do with fungicides is, I always use happy corn, happy beans, happy wheat. We keep the plant healthier for a week or two, cleaner, and it's not a 100% deal. And in weed control, we've been spoiled the past 15 years. We're used to almost 100% weed control. Fungicides aren't the same. We're talking about a reduction in the disease in the plant. Scab's a classic in wheat, and that's, there's a lot of misunderstanding out there. If we use the right herbicide, or excuse me, if we use the right fungicide at the right time, we will get a 50% reduction in DON or Vomitox. And that's with the right fungicide at the right time. And that's the best we can get. It's not 100%, it's a 50% reduction. And then if we don't use the right products, we can actually increase the DON or Vomitox. And that's been common knowledge for 15 years. If somebody is interested in wheat and kept up on what's going on wheat. But people don't understand that. We expect or want 100% control, and we don't get that with fungicides. So fungicides, we can only do so much. They're very beneficial, some years more than others. In wheat this year, it made them a lot of money because the test weight lowered DON numbers. It's not 100% clean, but it lowered the DON numbers, improved the test weight, improved the yield.
That was Jerry Rotman of the M&M Service Company. For more than 20 years, biotechnology has helped farmers increase productivity to meet the food demands of a growing population. Although it continues to face consumer criticism, the future of biotechnology looks bright. Shaunika Otterby has more.
Biotechnology is just one of the tools farmers use to produce more with less. Barry Bashu, the American Farm Bureau's vice president, says it's an important tool, which is why Farm Bureau continues to actively engage in the discussion to protect what farmers need to do their jobs.
If general farm organizations don't protect all types of agriculture and all the tools that are so necessary to continue to feed the United States and the world, you start losing them one by one.
Bashu says agriculture has always rapidly adopted technology, from the plow to biotechnology today. He says upcoming research will help broaden the use of biotechnology.
Many of them are going to have direct applications and benefits to consumers, and so we think that will benefit not only the agricultural industry but our consumers and make it a much broader picture of the use of GMOs.
Bashu says the benefits of genetically modified organisms have not been communicated to consumers as effectively as they could be, but widespread misconceptions can be overcome.
We need to continue to advocate for these tools. The seed companies have to take an active and proactive method, as does the farmers that use these products. I'm hoping that we'll start making a difference in the public eye as they start to learn the real truth and the real facts about biotechnology.
Shaunika Otterby, Washington.
Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Gina McCarthy met with Senate Ag Committee Republicans Tuesday, according to the Hagstrom Report. Mississippi's Thad Cochran told McCarthy the Waters of the U.S. proposal and agriculture interpretive rules are a source of uncertainty, anxiety, and distrust for people in rural areas. Kansas Senator Pat Roberts expressed his frustration with EPA's recent campaign calling concerns surrounding the proposed rules myths. Iowa's Chuck Grassley reiterated his concerns with the proposed Waters rule, too, and says there's no question this administration has a poor track record with agricultural interests on any number of issues. Senator Grassley says it's hard to believe how EPA thinks it can manage new rules when this unhelpful approach and general negative attitude toward agriculture seems to be standard protocol. He says the meeting with McCarthy did little to alleviate his concerns that the agency is not listening to the people its rules will directly impact. EPA spokeswoman Liz Pershia says EPA knows no one understands the importance of water quality better than the ag community, and the administrator appreciated the meeting with senators. The Department of Agriculture has announced the creation of the Foundation for Food and Agricultural Research. The new foundation, authorized under the 2014 Farm Bill, is a nonprofit corporation comprised of 15 board members that will seek and accept private donations to fund research activities focusing on problems that are nationally and internationally significant. These issues include plant and animal health, food safety, nutrition, renewable energy, natural resources, the environment, agriculture, and food security, and ag systems and technology. National Corn Growers Association Chairwoman Pam Johnson is one of the 15 board members. The USDA may not finish implementing the 2014 Farm Bill until the beginning of next year, according to the Illinois Farm Bureau's Doug Yoder. Yoder, Senior Director of Affiliate and Risk Management, pointed to the sheer workload of writing all the new rules. Yoder will provide an update on the 2014 Farm Bill called the Agricultural Act of 2014 during a seminar. It will be held on Thursday evening, August the 7th at 7 at the Macoupin County Farm Bureau Building in Carlinville. All Farm Bureau members are invited to attend. The seminar is free, courtesy of your county and state farm bureaus, but advance registration is requested. Phone 854-2571 to reserve your place at the Farm Bill Update seminar. Also in the news, our guest on the Saturday Farm Show is Bianca Massa of New Douglas. We'll talk about her horse training facilities in New Douglas and now in Litchfield. The Saturday Farm Show after NBC News at 6 Saturday morning and at 12:45 Saturday afternoon on both WSMI and WSMI FM 106. Reporting for Farm Director Angela Besch, I'm Randy Prangy.